The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code ROSS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code ROSS only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Russ Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. We are at Sweet 16 time of the NCAA tournament. We've got the NFL draft coming up in a month. The Masters will be here in a couple weeks. Plus, my man Fez says he is going to fix college basketball with one rule change. I cannot wait to hear about it. It is the Even Money Podcast. My man Fez is none other than Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports on Twitter, the only two-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football gambling. He is a legend out in Vegas, handicapper, obviously bets professionally, the whole deal. I am Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman that I've been in the black a couple years in a row now with my NFL bets, and I am loving learning more about betting some of these other sports and knowing what to do more about the NCAA tournament or Masters pools, things like that. We're presented by BetDSI. It's not complicated. They are the best way to place any of your bets. In fact, you know, anytime any of you have ever emailed me any issue you've ever had with BetDSI, I email my contact there. It gets resolved immediately. That's huge. Huge that you can just forward it to me. Hey, Ross, something happened here. Ross at RossTucker.com. I forward to them. All is resolved after that. So that has been very, very, very cool. And plus, the coolest part is that you guys get $15 for free when you use the code Tucker15 at betdsi.com. One more time, Tucker15, betdsi.com. Steve, let's start with last weekend. I was thinking about you quite a bit as Wichita State won and Minnesota lost and Rhode Island won, and both Wichita State and Rhode Island almost beat superior teams then in the second round. I mean, why don't they have you or the Vegas guys make the seeds, since you had a pretty good idea who was overseeded and underseeded?
Yeah, and it really was Vegas had the really good idea in terms of, I'm privy to the power ratings, but I don't set them. And they knew that Wichita State was a top 15 team. They know Minnesota was ridiculous to give them a number five seed. So we talk about it in Vegas. We can't understand why the whole entire country doesn't realize how, I use the word completely incompetent. I'll stand by it. If you make Wichita State a 10 seed, Ross, you should never be allowed to be on a committee the rest of your life. So every one of those guys, other than the guys who protest and said, we can't do this, should be off that committee, because if Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik had been the ones commissioned to make those seedings and we had done that, well, we'd be tarred and feathered. We'd be blackballed right out of the industry. And yet everyone just looks away, and I just can't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. I'm curious to know what other observations you had, Steve, from the opening weekend. Unbelievable that none of the top four seeds lost in the first round. there weren't even that many that were close to being an upset. I mean, Princeton almost beat Notre Dame in a 5-12, but I don't know what they even attribute that to, quite frankly.
Randomness. You've got the teams that are favored, and in any one game they're supposed to win, but you play 10 or 12 of them or 32 of them, and you should get some upsets. And I summed it up Friday night. I sent a tweet, Ross. I said, in case you were working the entire last 2 days and didn't watch any action, here's what happened. Princeton missed a three. Vanderbilt committed an own goal when they fouled ahead against Northwestern. And Oklahoma State made a three that moved a lot of money around. That was all that happened in 2 days of action. So it was, I'll go ahead and say it was the least mad and the least exciting first two rounds of any tournament I've ever seen.
I saw that tweet, Steve, and that was the perfect tweet. I mean, you were 1,000% correct. That is exactly what happened. And it was a shame that Princeton missed that three. They should have actually gotten a better shot. They shouldn't even been in that place. That was like the worst they've shot in a while. I mean, they shot like a C game. They needed to shoot like an A or a B. So anyway, what else? What did it mean for the books, Steve?
Yeah, well, the books had a very good tournament. They held about 7%. They would have done even better. All the favorites winning was bad for them early, but that crazy Sunday that kicked in, when you see the Dukes of the world and the Villanovas of the world losing outright, and the public loves to make lots of parlays on teams like that to win, and they'll lay the minus 300 on the money line, that goes a long way towards the books having a big Sunday. But where the books really got beat up on, Ross, the totals, 34, 17, and 1 to the over. And we started seeing some big inflation on these totals as the weekend went on. Wasn't enough. Games flying over. Refs, three-man crews calling a whole bunch of fouls. Teams getting into the bonus before the second media timeout.
So most fans picked the over, so that obviously was not good.
Right. So good for the bettors, bad for the books.
Got it. All right. What about the second round? That helps them out because of all the parlays?
In the second round now, the folks, the public's still going to bet all the favorites. They're going to
No, I don't mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean Sweet 16. I mean like Wisconsin beating Nova, Duke losing, you know, that the biggest takeaway from that is that it helped them because of the people losing on the parlays.
Exactly. So pretty much you can tell by how the book does after the games end by the how long the line is. And when Wisconsin beats Villanova, right after that game goes final, instead of there being a rush of people going to the window to cash their tickets, there's a trickle because everyone seems to have had Villanova laying the points or to win the game outright.
Got it. Okay. So with the Sweet 16 coming up, starting tonight, what are some tips, notes, things that we need to keep in mind?
I think I'll go back to the fact that two-thirds of the games have gone over. There's a tremendous amount of inflation going on with these totals because the public won betting overs, so they're going to continue to bet overs. The pros are reluctant to bet unders now because they got burned so much trying to fade these line moves. So I think all these totals are going to inflate such that I think if you played every one of these games under right before the games tip off, I think you're probably going to go 5-3, and I think if you selectively play them, you might even do better. So I would look towards playing unders this round. It's almost like an NFL team, Ross, that goes over 8 straight weeks. Vegas just won't allow a team to go 15-1 to the over. Eventually, they'll set the total so high there's value to the under.
Why? Explain that to me. Again, why the under for all these games?
Because I'll use an NFL example. If you get a team like the Saints and they start going over 4, 5, 6 straight games in a row, those totals might have started at 51. They're going to get to 59 or 60. The books are going to inflate the number so high, it's going to be almost impossible to keep hitting overs. And that's happening in college basketball, where we're seeing the books dealing totals that are much higher than they would have been had we not seen all these overs already. So you're paying a tax on the overs this week.
All right. As we move forward, Steve, How about specific game picks? Want to go through some of the games and who you like?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, tonight we've got the 2 7 o'clock games, two later games. Michigan is against Oregon. What's the line? What's the total? And who do you like?
The money's been on Michigan. It's gone from pick to Michigan minus 1.5 in most spots, the total at 147. I've been extremely impressed with Michigan since the plane crash. They have been just a juggernaut. However, all year long, Oregon has been not just the better team, but the much better team. I know their big man Boucher is hurt, that he's worth about 1.5, but still, I'm kind of shocked that this line would say, even if Boucher was in the lineup, that this line would be pick him because he's worth 1.5. I really think that the value here is to go with Oregon.
Anything on the total?
I would look over. I know I just said, hey, go ahead and play unders in most cases, but both these teams have been flying over the total. This is one game I don't want any part of the under. I would look over.
The other game I think is a good one, West Virginia-Gonzaga. What do you think about that one?
The pros and myself like West Virginia. We don't like that they played in Buffalo in the epic blizzard in March, had to come back home, and now they got to go to San Jose, where there's going to be a Gonzaga crowd advantage. But Gonzaga has been leaking oil. I would argue 5 of their last 6 games, Ross, they haven't just played a suspect half. They played a terrible half. Whether you look at the Northwestern second half that they played, whether you looked at the first half that they played against Portland in the West Coast Conference opening round game they had where they only led by 2 points, the horrible loss to BYU at home to end the regular season, this team looks to be leaking oil. And, Ross, they don't handle pressure well of late. No one pressures the ball better than West Virginia, press Virginia, if you will. Ball control could be a big problem. Wouldn't surprise me if West Virginia gets them.
Purdue against Kansas.
Real tough game. Kansas has trouble shooting free throws. Vegas thinks Kansas is probably the best team right now. They or North Carolina, but the consensus is Kansas is the best team, but we're concerned. It's a semi-home game that they will get up by the 5 points, but can they make enough free throws to extend the margin? And because of that, it's pretty much just a pass on the total also.
Xavier in Arizona, the nightcap.
So Xavier is a strange team. They lose Sumner, their stud point guard, and their season goes into the tank. If they're not playing DePaul, they go 1-6, Ross. They're just in a free fall. They're not even going to make the tournament if they don't get those games against DePaul. Then they rally. They got a great coach, and they played very well in this tournament. The one thing that concerns me, they've made approximately 20 out of their 53 pointers, and their opponents haven't made any. They've made 10 out of 50. So they're getting 3-point shooting. The pros feel is largely random, and that's why Xavier scores have been so biased towards them. Big crowd advantage, San Jose for Arizona. Arizona's a team playing much better. Arizona lost to Xavier earlier in the year, so they have revenge. Arizona was not at full strength in that game. I want no part of Xavier. I hate laying 7.5, but that's the only way I'd look in this game.
Let's get to the Friday game, Steve. Butler against UNC.
So UNC had a ideal matchup against Arkansas, a team that likes to run. UNC struggles when teams muck it up like a Virginia or a Miami. But when they can just run in the open court, that's where they're at their best. Their point guard, Barry, though, got hurt the game before, and he was awful against Arkansas. They almost lost that game after having like a 15.
They should have lost that one. I'm actually amazed, Steve, watching the games. I mean, who was the other team? There was a couple teams that they totally – I mean, there's a lot of different phrases I could use for what they did in the last 2 minutes, but none of them are good. One of them is swearing, pooping the bed. Another one, choking. I mean, it was mind-boggling how some of these teams just totally came apart at the seams the last two and a half minutes when they had it. They had the game.
Oh, and even good teams do it. I mean, you look at what West Virginia did at Fog Allen when they're up 14 against Kansas with 2 minutes to play during the regular season, and the lights get brighter in March Madness. Ross, remember the kids from Northern Iowa last year in their second round game? Kurt Warner's hugging Brenda. The game's over. Northern Iowa has won, and they just fall apart. So you never know how a team's going to handle that adversity when the game's gone well for 38 minutes, and then all of a sudden it starts tightening.
Okay. We got some more games to get to on Friday night. How about Baylor against South Carolina?
By the way, I would lean the Butler against North Carolina. I don't know if I said that. This one is, I think, a product of a total that is this high only because all these games have been flying over. You've got two very defensive teams, two slower paced teams. South Carolina, I know they scored 1,000 against Duke in the second half, but South Carolina can't score. They're offensively challenged and they play really good defense. Baylor plays slow and they play really good defense. They're only average on offense. The total's 135. I really don't know what's going to happen on the side, although I'd lean to Baylor just because South Carolina beating Duke's got to be, you know, in football terms, a tear down the goalposts, hug each other, go home and celebrate for 3 days. And oftentimes those teams can't get back up, but the under sure looks good to me here under the 135.
UCLA, Kentucky.
Now, here's one that you've got two high-flying teams. They played back in December. It was they scored about 190 points, and both teams have actually been focusing on defense more. Their last 24 games, 19-5 to the under, Ross. The problem is that I bet this, and I gave it out under 168.5, and now it's 165.5, so I really don't have any interest in the total right now at 165.5, but it probably will go back up because the public will probably bet over. I got to feel they're two pretty equal teams. I love the revenge angle. The fact that Kentucky lost the first game, the fact that UCLA has some distractions, you know, with their program, Lonzo's balls, talking about how great his kid is. My gut feel tells me that UCLA is the favorite in a few spots, -1. If I can get Kentucky +1, I got to bet Kentucky.
And then how about Wisconsin against Florida Friday night?
Yeah, you know, Wisconsin only shoots 64% from the free throw line. And I know we've had all this talk about how good Wisconsin is in the NCAA tournaments and the like, but let's face it, they're two really stud players that made their Final Four run. You know, Frank the Tank and Decker. I mean, those were the NBA players. I don't know if Wisconsin has an NBA player. Florida, they lost their big man, so they struggled after that. But Florida, their problem, Ross, has been that they just don't win end games. They've lost a lot of close games. In fact, every loss they had all year long was, I believe, by less than double digits. So if this game gets really close, you talk about, you know, the pressure being too much. Wisconsin has been there and Florida hasn't. I might just play Florida first half to avoid that end game jitters. I do think Florida is the better team.
Really, really looking forward to all these games. Sweet 16, always fun. No real, not really any Cinderellas, so to speak, but still some lower seeded teams. What about your plan, Steve, to fix college basketball? How exactly are you going to do that?
Very good. By the way, I do think Xavier's a Cinderella. I'm going to count Xavier as a.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I meant like a mid-major. I don't look at them as being a mid-major, you know?
Sure.
They're not a mid-major. They're a well-known conference. I'm talking about like South Dakota State or a Princeton or a Bucknell or something like that.
Right. Let's fix college basketball. The foul rules. I'm not a big basketball fan. And the reason, Ross, is there's too much of a disruption in action. Now, you could make that argument like in the NFL, the same thing is true. It looks like Pete Rozelle is going to or Roger Goodell, sorry, Pete Rozelle, that's hilarious, is going to change the rules. We're not going to have the double commercial breaks on kickoffs this year. It looks like we're going to just have one commercial break before the kickoff. The disruption going to the free throw line is terrible in college basketball, and the way to fix it, in my opinion, you commit a foul, go ahead and reward one free throw and let the team keep the ball. So what does that do? Now it's a pretty onerous thing to commit a foul. So you're not going to see as much reaching. You're not going to see as much hacking of big men in the paint. If there's a fast break, you're not going to see the point guard just get run, you know, right out of bounds and a foul getting committed, because it's optimal for a team to play that well. that way to stop fast breaks. And a bad free throw shooter gets the ball, you just hack him in position where he's going to score. The game would flow so much better. I don't know why the rule is as it currently is, because the way I'm advocating, if that had always been the rule, one free throw and you keep the ball, and someone said, hey, we'll go to this 1-1 and then these two free throw rules, and that was being thrown out, people would laugh at that and say, that's a terrible rules change. Why wouldn't we keep it the way it is, where a foul is a pretty onerous thing to commit? In the final minute, you can go ahead and revert it back to two free throws, because I understand you got to have a way for the team that's behind to catch up. But I really think that that's a rules change that both college basketball and the NBA would be a much better game with.
Well, I was thinking, is there a way to make the end of the game better? Because the issue I have is the end of the game. I sometimes it starts with 2 minutes left and they're down by 17 and they start fouling and it's like, oh my God. And I know that's their only shot is hopefully, and they miss foul shots, you hit a three. Miss foul shot, hit a three. But it's just, it's not a good watch.
And that's why make that strategy only employable in the final 1 minute, not the final 2.5 minutes. The game is just the end game lasts way too long when we already know who's going to win, unless there's a miracle. Team's up 11 and they start playing the foul game with a minute 40 to go. It's just unwatchable.
Yeah, I don't care for it at all. We're going to talk about it a little bit more moving forward. Any early thoughts on the Masters, Steve?
You know, it's a little bit early for me. What I like to do in my bets, I don't like to bet long shots in terms of needle in the haystacks, who's going to win the tournament. However, I like to play the player matchup. So those will be out later on, where I can bet on or against Phil Mickelson and how he'll do against another golfer, by example. Those are the bets that most of the pros I know make. But I can tell you this. I don't think I've ever seen this before. I looked at the odds on who's going to win the Masters, and right now, Spieth is 7-1, David Johnson is 7-1, Rory McIlroy is 7-1. Every other golfer is 17-1 or higher. So you've got three absolutely clear-cut favorites versus the rest of the golfers. And it wouldn't surprise me if someone doesn't put a lineup where one of those big three wins. So I thought, I'm not an avid golf follower or better, I thought this thing would be wide open with like 10 golfers, but there's three that have absolutely separated themselves.
Yep, I love it. Well, we'll talk more about that as we get a little bit closer to that event. I've got a question for you about pools, and I guess the cousin of that is, you know, the box things that people do for football games or Super Bowl or whatever. I know we talked about that before, but I know that there's some new listeners, so we want to get into that as well. There's a bunch of off-season topics and sporting events that we're going to dive into, but we probably could use your help. Just send us any email you have. Take advantage of any of our sponsors, or just hit us up on social media with specific questions that you have, things you'd like Steve and I to discuss here on the Even Money Podcast, bets you're thinking about making. Let's make this thing as interactive as possible. Just take advantage of any of the sponsors over at rostucker.com and send me an email, ross@rostucker.com, with your question. I guarantee Steve will read and respond to it. And we'll get into some really cool topics moving forward. Other than that, for right now, I think we're done. Good luck, everybody. Hope you guys win some money.
Thanks for listening to the Even Money Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the Fantasy Feast Podcast, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
All right, it's March, which means it's time for the madness, and it's crunch time in the NBA, so you know we got it all covered on the Big Podcast with me, Shaq.
And we're way more than just sports, Shaquille, so be prepared to laugh, folks, as we bring you the best basketball coverage, the biggest names in hoops, like Kevin Garnett, Chris Paul, Dick Vitale, Grant Hill, Chris Webber, and many, many more.
The Big Podcast with Shaq, check us out with new episodes every Monday at podcast1.com.